Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Today, we visit another small town in central Louisiana that made some hard decisions years ago that have paid off with some incredible growth. And we talked to a mayor who helped make some of those decisions, because being born and raised there, he got into local government to help make his community a better place to live for years to come. We're going to go talk with Mayor David Butler in the small town of Woodworth, Louisiana. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. When looking around for your next small town adventure, you should consider Harrelson County, Georgia. With four small towns, each with their own unique character, Harrelson County has all the charm and warmth of a rural community. Located just 1 hour from the heart of Atlanta, Harrelson County also offers access to the amenities of the big city. In Harrelson County, Georgia, you can enjoy taking a brisk walk among historic homes, eating lunch at one-of-a-kind restaurants, shopping for unique products lovingly curated by one of many local entrepreneurs, and the recreational opportunities are endless, including leisurely floats down the Tallapoosa River and attending some of the many outdoor festivals. Make plans to visit Harrelson County, Georgia today, and you just may decide to stay. For more information, visit harrelson.org. That's HARALSON.org. Harrelson County. You're a one-hour drive to a nonstop flight to anywhere in the world, but once you're here, you might not want to go anywhere else. All right. I am sitting in some very nice city council chambers in a very nice municipal services building in the town of Woodworth, Louisiana. I happen to have the pleasure of sitting with the man who sits in the same chair he's sitting in now to run meetings in this very nice room in this very nice building, and that's Mayor David Butler. Mayor Butler, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
And welcome to Woodworth, Mr. Mayor. I'm glad you came from Georgia over here to see us.
Yeah, absolutely. When we talked to coordinate getting together for this interview, I think you did say it'd be easy to spot the building. You know, I put it in Google Maps. And there's a plug for Google, and that's how I usually find where I'm getting to the town and the building I'm supposed to meet at. But you said, oh, you can't miss it. It looks, we call it the Taj Mahal.
That's exactly right. Some people call it King David's Castle, but that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. I love it.
It caught my eye. I didn't have to like think twice about whether this is the building or not when I pulled up to it on the road.
It was important that it had that government feel and government look to it to us, and that's what we wanted to convey to the public.
It does.
And it that's where you at, and that's what we wanted to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go a little out of order, but that's okay. That's the way conversations work. While we're sitting here, tell us a little bit about it, because you were telling me some about it. Number one, the buy-in from the community to do something like this, because just like we were talking about before we started recording, having something like this, some people may say, oh, you know, we should spend as little money as possible on the government things. But there's another side to it, that intangible benefit of having something that you can be proud of that presents and represents your city.
We knew Woodworth was poised for growth. I knew that from the tenure of my service has been here. And we were just in a little small building, but we wanted to build something that would be at least 50 year plus that we could grow into it. And we've actually grown into some of it already that we actually have some space. But our goal was to build a nice facility that represented the community and made a statement that people was coming here being a bedroom community. We just wanted to have the parents, and we've had a great buy-in from the community with what they're doing here to build their own homes and what have you. We had a long-term plan. It's not just a dream to have the building. We kind of put everything on hold for about 9 years to get our finances in order and how we're going.
You said you didn't purchase some things like some of the police cars. That's correct.
And the piece of property was a piece of property. It was a tax incentive given to us by the property for tax purposes, and we bought some of it. And that piece of property wasn't, quote, if you look at it, wasn't the most ideal, but I saw beyond that. We saw beyond that. And this piece of property actually had 78,000 yards of dirt put on it at this time to raise it up. And we wanted to set it back so it would have a kind of little mall off the front, a little and that kind of thing.
Because it's not right on the highway.
It's not right on the highway. Put a lot of thought into it. The young lady that was an architect on this building, she has a dual degree. She has interior design and architectural degree, which really shows in this building. And we kind of gave her free rein to do what she needed to do. And we trusted her, and it really paid off. And we've been in this building almost 12 years already. And it's just awesome. You know, we started out with this building with a USDA Rural Development Loan and Grant Program. And we were really nervous about how they was going to take the rural development, this type of a building, you know, and what we was going to do. But they now bring people from the Washington office to see the building. And since that time, we have done our financing private enterprise and cut a 40-year loan down to 25 years and cut an interest rate way down and save mega dollars on the interest rates and what have you. But anyway, we are very pleased and very proud of it. Our community is very pleased and very proud of it. It's a great service building for the community.
Well, it is a beautiful building. I love sitting in council chambers or somewhere in City Hall. We do this, even though we do take pictures, a little video for social media, but obviously this is an audio thing. But still, I think it just kind of captures our conversation inside together. And so I will say, it's high ceilings. I'm hearing an echo, and that might be in the recording. So for our audience, that echo is because we're sitting in something just magnificent. So I hope that'll be okay with everybody.
You know, being homegrown, I'm a fourth-generation family to Woodworth, and was born and raised here.
You're jumping right in. So I was going to ask you if you're born and raised here. Go ahead and talk about where you came from.
Born and raised here. I'm fourth-generation family. My great-great-grandparents helped settle Woodworth on a land grant. And so go back and look at the land deeds. You'll see the butler all in different places and what have you. Very small at that time. He was a single man at that time when he come here. But anyway, and then we've transitioned into a sawmill town. It's a Rapides Lumber Company. And they came here during the late 1800s and early 20s and set up a sawmill. So we obviously got a lot of history. It goes back to a sawmill, which dates around a lot of our pictures and stuff here.
Yeah.
And they, you know, at that time didn't practice some reforestation. So they cut all the timber out and moved to Utah and places and Woodworth suffered and detracted at that time. And when I became mayor, we was less than 400 people. Out of high school, was no employment here, what have you. I wound up going to Metairie, Louisiana, married at a very young age. I was 18, my wife was 17, still had high school to go, and Lord just took care of us, and we went down to stay with my sister. Wound up going to work in the space program for Boeing and spent over 5 years in the Apollo project for Boeing. And they wanted to send me to Seattle. And this may have been China. I wanted to come back to Woodworth. And so I took a job with Delta Airlines at Moise Anna Louis Armstrong. And a year later, come to Alexandria, we put the jet service here and got to come home and built my home here at Woodworth. And I'd been away long enough to know that Woodworth could be better where we were at and what was going on. And I got interested in and part-time, I work for the town a little bit clean, trying to clean the streets up just in that kind of situation.
Oh, so you're actually a municipal employee
before. One time, just helped clean up the streets because I just wanted to look better and to pick up the litter. And we could do better. I knew we could do better. And from there, led me to be appointed mayor by the governor, then served. And it's been August 21st, be 41 years.
Well,
I've had 10 elections. And
You've given us like the whole summary. Let me actually take it back a little bit. You said you're born and raised here. Family was here several generations back. If it was a very small town, because you said when you graduated, it was about 400 people.
The town was 400. We actually went over to LeCount High School at that time. And when I come up, we had a pre-K through first grade through sixth grade here.
Yeah.
Two grades to the room. The first and second grade was in one room, third and fourth grade in one room, fifth, sixth grade was in one room. And after that, you know, we probably had about a fifth grade education, went over to LeCount to go at that time.
It was right, a struggle. No high school here, but somewhere else in the parish.
LeCount High School, which is about 7 miles over from here, and okay. That's where I graduated from in 1962. I'm about 60 years now.
Okay.
That's my graduation. Yeah, it seemed like yesterday. And but, you know, I have Boeing kept me from going to Vietnam. We was working on a defense-related project, and they got me deferment, and I don't feel bad about that, you know. I love Woodworth, and, you know, I'm one of 12 kids. It's only four of us left, and so I've been there and done that. I could hear Rooster Crow and tell you what he wrote on Red or White Rock. Let me just tell you that, you know. So I've been there, and but I had strong values from my family, strong values from my mom, the way to treat people and what have you. And my dad always told me, not a man of his word, you know, and I always lived by that and instilled a lot of values. Delta Airlines instilled a lot of values in me about ethics and how you run a company and what you do and how you conduct your people. And my very title was customer service with Delta, and I retired from them almost 29 years. And I brought lots of things that Delta did for me here at Woodworth. And my last 13 years of Delta, I was commuting to Baton Rouge. We'd pulled our jet service from Alexandria. And I wanted to stay here, and I'd built my home, and I'd done the commute.
So you lived here in Woodworth.
And drove every day to Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Wow, that's about a two-hour drive.
A lot of prayer, you know. And I took actually July the 1st this year, I'll be retired 26 years from Delta. And they're still a great company in my life. They still have a lot of things to do with me. And
let me go back and ask, because your first job out of high school, you said, was for Boeing, or was it?
Very first job out of high school was at Genuine Parts on Shrewsbury Road in Metro, Louisiana, for about 6 months.
Okay.
And that then
short-lived.
I had paid an employment agent to get me a job.
Right.
Back then, and Boeing was hiring. I didn't know a whole lot about the space program. I didn't know I needed a job to get at that time. And I applied in the Barone building on Canal Street in New Orleans. I will forget that. And got hired and done a commute across town to Gentilly area, and out to Michoud at New Orleans. And that space shuttle was done out there recently.
I was going to ask, because that sounds like really interesting work, but what was your role with Boeing in the space program?
Boeing is like the Air Force. They have what they call the stores where all the raw materials comes in and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of my career, I was a raw material storage supervisor. We got all the metal material in, the metals and what have you, that built the Saturn V rocket, okay? That was my job, to get it stored. From the engineering section, they'd done work orders out in the shops out there and to build, and we issued them the material to build with, and I was in charge of all that. We had also what we call the GSE stores, which are all the electronic parts of the store. I was in charge of that at the time. Actually, I was the youngest supervisor Boeing had at that time in the plant. I was a supervisor at 25. We had the union that represented us at that time, and I wasn't part of it. And I went through a lock-in in the plant and all that stuff, and the machinists went on strike. But it's been a great life, and you know, and Delta, I've had an awesome career.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next. You went from Boeing. How many years were you with Boeing?
A little over 5 years.
Okay. And then took a job with Delta.
And that's 29 years. That's correct. Yeah, yes.
And at first you were in New Orleans for that job?
That's correct.
Okay.
With Delta.
All right. And then they moved service to Alexandria.
They put the jet service here to Alexandria, put it right at home.
And that's what got you to be able to come back to Woodworth.
Yeah, I actually only spent a year in New Orleans.
Because we're just, I mean, what are we, 15 minutes outside of Alexandria right here?
Yes, it's actually about a 30-minute commute from Woodworth here.
Okay.
To where I worked at.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, I stayed there in 1983, and when they pulled a jet service out on Halloween night, and we left, and I done the next 13-year commute to Baton Rouge.
So that actually shows how much, if you knew you were going to do that for the rest of your career, it ended up being 13 more years. That's a heck of a commute.
It was a commute. I had a lot of prayer from a lot of people. I was up at 1:30, leaving about 3 o'clock to be to work at 5:30 in the morning. Yeah. Get off at 1:30. I was always off on Wednesday, Thursday, because I wanted to be part of mayor. Helped me do mayor. A lot of times I returned back to Baton Rouge for municipal business with LMA and what have you on my days off.
Yeah.
And I love municipal service. I love service to the people. That's what I'm all about.
Well, let me ask that, because we got all the stories kind of wound together. When did you said you did some part-time work for the city because you just wanted things to be better in Woodworth.
When I did part-time work was in 68, 69, when I first come back here.
And when did you get involved in elected office?
And for the next, I was appointed August the 21st of 81 by the governor at that time.
We had two mayors. So what were the circumstances there? Because that doesn't happen every day.
that's an interesting story too. For about a 10-year period there, I never missed a council meeting, and because I knew that we could do better. I was going on my own.
And you were just coming as an attendee. You never were on council. You got appointed mayor. I was coming to the meetings.
And when I started recording meetings and saw some things that I, you know, and thanks to Delta, we had a toll-free line and I could talk to people in Washington or EPA and what have you. And we was looking at some things that was going on. And I flew to Dallas to the EPA headquarters and looking at some things that's going on here. And it wasn't quite right. And the more I wanted to know, the less they wanted me to know at that time. And anyway, it wound up me being mayor before it was over with. But anyway,
Some things were going on that shouldn't have been going on.
That's right.
And the people that were in charge had to leave. So they appointed, you got appointed.
We'll just sum it up like that.
You know,
I would tell you, I was here the first time I run for office. I've served in the appointed position for 8 or 9 months and qualified to run. Well, I'm at work and I get started with papers that I wasn't a qualified candidate because I don't live in the city limits anyway. So that became a story in itself, and that was not true. And we subpoenaed franchise records and done all kinds of things, you know.
I'm going to take it you had opposition.
I did.
When you ran that first time, even though you were appointed mayor, that really is...
It's set in their ways. I'm trying to check my words.
I understand exactly what you're doing. I think most people in the audience can know exactly what you're saying. They're set in their ways. There's always going to be resistance when you're trying to get things going right.
We could do better. And my very upbringing was, there was not a lot of like gray area in my life. It was either right or wrong, you know. And I sometimes I've took my lumps for that right or wrong, you know.
Sure.
But I've learned to have a little gray area now since then. Age brought that on, you know. But staying at it, we went to court and we won.
So you were able to run.
Yeah, able to run. The rolled in my favor, I can run well.
And it sounds like you won.
A year later, they put me on a recall.
I turned
the apple cart upside down and really got into some things with EPA and some other stuff, the sewer project, some other thing. But anyway, that's another story in itself. You know, my brother was on the city council. It was a mayor pro tem. He was there. We always got to high votes. He's passed away now, served 32 years. But anyway, we got on a recall. Okay, let's put it that way.
And
I got a PhD in recalls. I can tell you that right now.
You told me earlier you got a PhD in common sense from being the mayor.
I got a PhD from McCown High School in common sense. That's where my PhD is at. But the recall, we learned if you put your name on a petition, it can be taken off. So we got our friends to put the name on the petition so we could kill it. So we got them to go ahead and sign that petition, you know, we want it. So anyway, so they run to the office and got the headlines and they, Mayor Butler and his brother on a recall. They got enough signatures. So we had 10 days. We took back an affidavit and we got a bunch of them taken back off. So it killed it for a year.
Uh-oh.
Oh, they really had a fit at that time, but it's all water on the bridge. You know, I wouldn't do all that again, but I mean, at that time, if I got shoved an inch, I'd shove a mile. It didn't make no difference at that time, but much younger, you know, it got fun, you know, I know it was for the right thing. And I knew as long as I was for the right thing, the Lord's going to see me through it, you know. And I've actually, in the years past, kneeled by my bed and prayed for and went to a council meeting because I didn't know what was going to take place, you know.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting and I wouldn't take nothing for it. I've had 10 elections, 10 successful elections. I've had them. Not no opposition in elections. I've had one appointed 10. I'm looking for my levels one coming up, and I'm looking forward to that. And
so you've been the mayor for a total of how many years? You told me 41.
July 1st would be 26 full-time years.
Right. Now explain that, because you told me that.
Okay. When
that,
I retired,
we've gone through that. There's some part-time and some full-time.
I retired July 1 of 96 from Delta Airlines and hung around for about 3 weeks and got everything out of my system, visiting and the council at that time, great council, said, Mayor, we'd like for you to be full-time. We know it's in your heart. Would you do that? And they boosted my salary a little bit at that time. Said, yeah. So actually, you can go back about that time when the town really started growing because I really got involved at that time.
Yeah.
Spent time and time again, you know, and bless my sweet wife. She never did attend a council meeting. She always supported what I did. And come October 10th of this year, she'll be passed away 4 years. And we was married 56 years. But anyway, raised me two wonderful kids. But whatever is about my home. I mean, it's my family and my employees are my family. And I just love Woodworth. And I took a position and we started building our first buildings, you know, where we wanted to start changing. We had a fire department early on. If you could call it a fire department, it was a 10 rating with no rating. And I started had a plastic truck, a army truck. And today we got one of the most modern fire departments for a small town anywhere with class 4 rating. We're very proud of that. Recently received a grant from Firehouse Sub to help build a rescue ATV with, you know, and that stuff. We also now have a rescue boat, and because we're Indian Creek Recreation Area, we was out this week looking for somebody in the lake with it, you know. We had what you call a part-time police early on. We have a full-time police. It's trained anywhere. We have one of our employees committed to work with a parish-wide interdiction unit for drugs. And I'm very proud of them. I have employees at the police department that has full degrees in criminal justice. And they've done surveys before. We're at the top of the list in employee salary for police and first responder. We're proud of that. And in my opinion, they're not paid enough, you know. Yeah. In my opinion, not paid enough. But my position is, kind of go back to Delta Airlines, you know, your parents is everything. It's kind of like you're going to be a pastor. You don't need to preach with a muted shorts on Sunday. You need to look the part, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way with my police or my fire department and my employees in uniforms and things that they do, you know. Things that Delta Airlines done for me, it provide 100% of the accident health for me and my family. I do the same thing for all our employees, you know. We do everything we do here with 25 full-time employees, and you look at the same amount of employees in other places, they may have up to 30, 35, and 40, but the pay is not there. But they cross-utilize. Our police department supports the fire department. They have the bunk gear in their car. Yeah. You won't find that anywhere else, you know. It's their town. They buy into it, you know. And my clerk is what we call a certified master municipal clerk. It's a peak of what, you know, we try to do it right. We've in my administration, I've had 39 clean audits. And what does that mean? When you talk about a clean audit, that's the pinnacle audit. That's what you're looking for, you know?
Yeah.
And I always ask, I sit on a lot of boards and stuff, and we do an audit and what have you. And I'll always ask the auditor, I say, who you credit this good audit to? And they'll say, now they got to say, well, we credit to you. No, I'm not the bottom line.
Right.
But anyway, it's we started building our buildings, growing the municipality. We said we're going to do one building at a time. We're going to be 5% more with it. It's going to look like municipal government. And we've done that. The first building we built was a community center. It's over 30 years old now, and it still looks modern today. And we've kept that on, whether it's our fire departments, our playground, or this municipal building. People have bought into it, and because of that, our high-end growth, there's a home going up here right now. It's 13,000 square foot in one home being built here. 13,000 square foot in one home. We got another beside it, 9,700. And we're an out-migration for... I'll just say our sister city is close to us. Some things, you know, from a safety standpoint, we see a little no crime. That's just who we are, you know.
Yeah.
I take Rudy Giuliano, who's the mayor of New York at one time, his position. If you go out the little stuff, the big stuff won't come. So we don't have a Friday program that you go out and whip up on everybody. I have a 24/7 program. Their office, my police, that's their office is their car. And, they're involved with the community, and the people know them, and they know us, and they talk to us. And patrolling the city is high on our list, and what we do. And if something does occur, we're going to come up. We're going to throw everything we got at it. We're proud of that, you know. Yeah. And it's clean. That's very important. You know, when I come up with 12 kids, there had to be order. It had to be clean. You couldn't throw nothing on the ground, you
That's
know,
right.
and that kind of thing. So
That's it's too the many same, kids it's to let it get out of hand.
You know, somebody asked me, said once, Mayor, said, you ever been in the military? I said, no, I went through Carl Butler's military. He'd tell you, nope, you didn't take care of it. So that's my dad, you know. I learned that early on, you know.
Let me ask this. Obviously, I'm hearing the steps. I'm hearing the pride in the buildings, the making sure things look good, the cross-training. So inside the government part, I'm hearing what you thought was important. I see that as making the city better. But I want to ask this because I want to make sure people understand the connection. When you graduated high school and when you moved away, even though you knew you wanted to come back, it sounds like, population is about 400. And you
that's
said
correct.
Right now it's how much?
2024.
So that's a fivefold increase in population. So talk about kind of how the evolution of that happened.
We had a 62% increase in the last 10-year census.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is that just because this area is growing? But obviously they're picking here as opposed to some other places they could be. So talk about that.
You know, early in my career as mayor, my stance on public safety was probably not somewhat people want to see, you know. And I'm trying to be cautious in what I say. I didn't see a lot of gray area in it, you know, and we started taking care of business. We'd had 7 deaths in a small period of time. We have a recreation area that's over 175,000 people a year come to it. We got 3 church camps here, and we have alcohol deaths and whatever. So we decided early on that we're not going to put up with this. And
those kinds of activities.
At that time, during that period of time, we got an intoxilizer machine from the state, and we're going up DWIs. And okay, wasn't my chief at that time, but he's now my chief, James Gonzalez. He's certified intoxilizer. In a 14-month period, he done 350 DWIs, and that DWI program went nationwide. And what we was doing here, smaller as we were, you know, we just didn't know gray area. we want it safe. We didn't want them come out here in the recreation area getting killed, coming out drinking, all that stuff. You know, we're here for all the right reasons, family. Even today, small as we are, we in our area, through traffic through here, we do about 80 drug interdictions a month, and we're part of a drug task force. And even small as we are, two of our police units have what we call automatic license plate readers on them, and we have equipment that mines license plates, and we're tied into what we call the State Police Fusion Center, where they fuse all these numbers and all that kind of thing. The advantage is on our side with that, let's put it that way, from the criminal, you know, what we look for. And that's that. And so we known for our, what we do now has became popular from the safety standpoint. And that's why they're moving here.
You made some tough decisions.
Made some tough decisions.
You did some crackdown, some things. You kind of set the bar.
I set the bar.
Okay.
And we never backed up from that bar.
So you became known as a place that was family friendly.
That's correct.
And we did, because of those things.
And we wouldn't back up from it, you know. And I've said publicly before, and I'll say it again, if you come to this area and you mess with our youth, or you mess with our children and do things you're not supposed to, like predator on our children, or you come and you mess with our seniors and what have you, we're probably not going to treat you too kind. You know, we're probably going to deal with that, you know. We have children that go to our park, 19 years old, still by themselves. That's unprecedented.
Yeah.
You know, we have people that still don't lock their homes here. That's unprecedented. You have your boats, you leave your real rods in it, and your lawnmower's out. That's unprecedented. It's not bothered, you know. You bother it, then we're going to be bothering you. You know, that kind of thing, you know. We're a dying breed of community. We are a family-oriented community, and I stress that. Family is at the top of my agenda. Family. Yeah. Even my employees will do all kinds of stuff for them to be with their family at school, or if they go with this, their graduation, their grandkids, or travel ball, or whatever they can do. They get one chance at raising that family with our employees, and I want them to be part of that. I don't miss that. I probably, if I had some things to do over again, I spent a lot of time away from my family, committed to other people's business, like mayors and what have you. And, you know, as I look back, I can't go back and change that. You know, what I actually change it, what I know, no, I probably would not. I have a background that's in building and done that for a while, part-time, what have you. Yeah, you know, if I'd have took my commitment and when Delta left Alexandria and went into business myself, don't tell them my family, but you never know how that's going to turn out.
Sure.
So like God guided my life and guided my decisions and what I've done and guided my family is in a, example, yesterday, there's a lady that's here, 89 years old, and we helped her with some sewer issues a year ago, and she made us some brownies and what have you during that time. She shows up yesterday with homemade brownies for the police department made up, and the employees and myself with a note on them thanking me for a year ago. This is what it's all about.
Yeah.
If that won't touch your heart, and it's important to us that we developed on our own stationery a sympathy card if there's a death in our community. It doesn't have my name on it. It's from the whole community. It's the whole community, you know.
Yeah.
And we try to send that to people at the worst time of their life, and it really connect them to the community. And it's very important for my community, as much as we can do it. We'll work people's funerals with our police department or even with a fire department, any way we can help. That's very important at that time. If you happen to be 60 years old and lives in Woodworth, and we look at that through a voter registration, whatever, we'll send you We said anybody 60 years old is going to get a birthday card from us. And it's gone on for a long time. Years ago, I saw where an old sheriff did that and said he never forgot my birthday. We've actually had him say, the mayor must have forgotten my birthday. I didn't get my card, but the mail was hung up a little bit.
It came late, but it came.
Every new resident that moves to Woodward gets a personal letter out of my office. It may be a form letter, but it's a personal letter.
Yep.
And it tells them things about the community, when the town council, where the park's at, when the garbage gets picked up, how to get a hold of the police department, how to get a hold of the fire department, welcome to Woodward, thanking them for making their home here and that kind of stuff. That's very important to us. It's very important to them. I've had people say, I've lived all over the country, never got a mayor, you know.
Right. You don't get that everywhere.
You don't get that everywhere, you know. And it's just, I'm thoroughly convinced one person can make a difference. You can make a difference, you know. It don't start at the bottom and go up. It starts at the top and goes down. My former employee taught me about communications from the top down to bottom up, and my former employee taught me about empowerment for the employees, and we empower our employees to do the job and hold them accountable for it. I'm not a policeman. I'm not a sanitation worker. I'm not a fire department. But it's my job to get them all the equipment tools I need to work with and do all that. And that's where I'm at, you know. Yeah. And training is big on our list. We've sent them some high-end schools. You know, we got one of our police officers, what you call a certified interdictor. What you call interdiction out there. And went all the way to Kansas to go to that and get certified and court witness on that. That's important. we take each one of our employees and may make some specialist out of that employee for what he is. We have one of our employees now certified gun instructor, you know, from the police. Just one of each, you know, and so we can be self-supporting and what have you. And I think that's important, you know.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. I actually made an assumption earlier in our conversation. You graduated high school living here, and then you went over to the New Orleans area pretty quick after that. And if I remember correctly, that's where you met your wife. Yeah.
That's an interesting story there too. When I was in high school, we was in high school going to school here.
Oh, you were both here.
My wife moved from Texas over here. She was raised in Spring Branch, Texas over there. She come in when she was in the ninth grade with her parents, and she started a church while I was going to church over here at that time. And, you know, wasn't long being, I thought it was the prettiest girl moving in the community, you know, and then we swim in the creek and, we'd meet up and we'd see them all down that swimming hole. And it wasn't long. We were seeing each other, but her parents wouldn't let her. She had to be 16 before she could date and that kind of stuff, you know? So I waited, you know, and here we are, you know, I met her here through church, you know, and I remember sitting out in the audience with church and I'd hold her hand under my hand over here and I didn't think the preacher would see us and all that kind of stuff, you know, and, what a blessing, you know, I tell you.
So y'all were married here and then moved around
for a short period, just a short, short period of time, she actually moved to a little place called Wimberley, Texas, and it's right out of San Marcos in the Texas Hill Country. Mm-hmm. Her dad was in the building business, and that's a little small piece of my life at that point. We went out there. I'd never been out of Woodworth hardly. I drove out there and to see because she was out there, and she enrolled in San Marcos High School. In November of her senior year, we got married in Wimberley, Texas. She was 17, I was 18.
Right.
And then come back here and moved to Metairie down and lived with my sister that day. And she actually finished at East Jefferson High School.
Okay, finished high school over there, but that's not where she's from. That's what I thought.
My mom said when I asked her about getting married, my mom said, that girl better finish school, boy, I tell you that right now. So she did, you know.
Or you'd have been in trouble.
You'd have been in trouble, that's exactly what she did.
Well, when you moved over there, because it sounds like Woodworth was always home and you always knew you wanted to be back, but was there ever a time where you thought, hey, this little small town, now we're over here and we're in this metropolitan area and there's big city and bright lights.
I'm very close to, could have easily probably stayed in San Marcos because I got out of a little work, did that very short period of time I was there, and I applied for a job in a call Wide Light Corporation. Wide Light is now Phillips Wide Light. They make all these outdoor lightings and what have you. Mm-hmm. And they offered me a job, but I still wasn't going to Woodworth, you know.
This is always home, this is always where you want to be.
Too many scrub oak trees out in Texas. There wasn't no pine trees, man. You're talking about a young man that went to RA camp and went in church and went to Dry Creek, Louisiana, and cried for a week to come back home. You know, when I said, "Make now,
stayed that way throughout.
My wife always, he ain't never gonna be no. Delta Airlines offered me a job to go to Atlanta, Georgia, in government affairs, and I come home talking to my wife. She said, "You ain't gonna do that. You need to tell him you ain't going because you're not going. I know that already. You know,
it's too far away from
too far from my home.
You'll commute to Baton Rouge the last 13 years of your career, but you can't commute to Atlanta.
I said, let some other young folks do it. I'm fine with all that. You know, I've been up on that mountain and looked up. It's fine. You know, it's fine. You know, but it's been a great life of becoming mayor and staying connected in the local government. I have went to a lot of seminars to learn local government. You are friends with Ms. Karen White, our legal counsel from the Louisiana Municipal Association. Mm-hmm. Ms. Karen tells me I am her legal aide because I'm all time sending her stuff. And I say, you know, Ms. Karen, I'm no lawyer. You know, I've been told that, you know, that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, I talked to her yesterday. But anyway, I spend a lot of time. We copy stuff out and send it to my people and try to stay abreast of where we're at, which do's and don'ts, stuff through the Supreme Court, all that kind of stuff, you know.
It's always changing.
It's always changing, and you got to be flexible. My job is totally different where it was at 10 years ago. Yeah. The job I do today.
Oh, yeah.
Social media has changed the face of local government. Social media has changed the face of government, period.
Mm-hmm.
Social media has changed elections, period. And we just in a new world, different time, and that kind of stuff. So you got to learn to conform. You got to learn to be savvy with that kind of stuff. You know, teaching old dog new tricks is kind of hard, you know. in my office today, and my chief police said, when I was sending all this stuff out with PDFs connected to it and all that stuff, and then she said, "Man, I know you know all that." I said, "I don't. Maria in the office comes up different for
you." You got good people.
You know, and I just tell you, I tell people, you don't have to be smart to be mayor. You don't have to be smart to be governor. You don't have to be smart to be president. But you better be smart enough to surround yourself with good people. Richard Nixon made that mistake, that's what you got to do. And you got to have people that's loyal and trustworthy, and always got to be honest when you tell you good, bad, and different. You know, there's been a number of times over the past, you always tell me what aside what we're going to tell. You know, we just, some things we just can't go forward with, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, and things that we come in contact with, people's business in this building is their business, you know, and we absolutely, it's a cardinal sin to put it on the street. You know, we just can't do that, you know. We know a lot about a lot of people, you know, so to speak, you know. It's worth it. I tell people my worst day is still a great day. My worst day is still a great day.
Good life in Woodworth.
Oh, yes, this is still a great day. I tell them when it's too rough for the rest of them, it's just the way I like it. You know, and look, I tell them all the time, I said, if they got stinking thinking they get a check up their neck up, I'm game. You know, yeah.
I want to talk more about Woodworth and what people can do and come and experience, but I got four get to know you questions I ask all my guests. I want to ask you, and then, I mean, I feel like I've gotten to know you so well and your career and your life, but there's four things you haven't answered yet.
Talk to me.
First question, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
Do I have a nickname?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Over Woodworth, you asked for David Butler, they probably know who you're talking about. My middle name is Carl, and my mama started out to call me DC, and it wore off to DD. And so I'm DD to all the old community, DD.
Now, how'd it go from DC to DD?
I don't even have that idea, but that
just, it just did.
And, you know, we, all my brothers and what have you, nicknames, you don't see that so much anymore, but yes.
So if I walk around town and say, tell me who your mayor is, they'll say DD Butler?
Some of the older folks here, yes, they would know who you're talking about. Yes.
Okay.
And they still come in a time to and ask for me that direction, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So you can tell who's been around a while and who's new to town.
That is correct.
How they address the mayor.
You know, the whole time I worked for Delta, it wore off to Dave. And I was Dave Butler there. Dave instead of David, Dave Butler there.
They shorted David to Dave, but then here it's DD.
And nowadays I'll be in a room and they say mayor and it might be five mayor. You have five people start looking, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, that kind of stuff.
Depends on what company you're in.
But, you know, I'm humbled about being called mayor. You know, it's rare that I introduce myself as Mayor David Butler. I'm David Butler.
I happen to be the mayor, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, you have to earn that name.
Yeah.
You earn that respect in that name. The day you get it, yeah, you have it, but there's a lot of work going with it to get it.
Sure, it's a title that's been bestowed to you, but yeah, there's an earning of, you know, always in the community.
I always tell people, I respect the office of president. I respect the office of vice president. I expect the office of pastor to church. I respect it. Sometimes I don't necessarily go along with the thinking sometimes, but I still respect that office, and I think it's what we need to do.
Yeah. All right, second question. What would be your go-to karaoke song? It's karaoke night. You're the next one up. We get to cue up whatever song you want. What song are we singing?
Who Let the Dogs Out?
If you told me to guess which song you were, I don't think I would have come up with Who Let the Dogs Out.
Who Let the Dogs Out,
but that's the one you're going to sing karaoke in front of everybody.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that.
Woof, woof, woof. Who Let the Dogs Out? Yeah, absolutely. That's me. Yeah. We're going to let the dogs out on you.
Awesome. Next question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Probably my favorite dish, gosh, it's what I was raised on. Fried chicken and me, it just got a problem. You know, I just love fried chicken.
By the way you say that, it sounds like I'll get along just fine.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fried chicken type guy. Beef and stuff. When I grew up as a kid, you got to understand me as a kid, everybody had their own same piece of chicken. That was your piece with the leg, and this one got this and that.
Right.
That
you claim something. Yeah.
The only thing that got away when I grew up with a chicken was a cackle. You know, we made a feather mattress out
you
of feather.
All of it.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
All right. So fried chicken. Last question. If you could attend the concert of any singer, band, group, duo, any performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
It'd probably be Ray Bowles. He sings a lot of religious music.
Okay.
The Anchor Holes and that kind of stuff. You know, my peace and quiet time is to, I watch very little television. I'm a positive person. So much on television now is non-positive. So I just moved that out of my life. Matter of fact, I disconnected the cable out of my house because of that. In my recliner, I like to listen to my religious music, and I watch the stuff on that, you know, and whatever news I want to get, I get on my iPhone. But I love just that relaxing time and listen to that. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So Ray Bowles.
Yeah. Yes. I love that. And yeah. Yes. Guy Penrod, yes.
No, you picked one now. Uh-huh. You're trying to pick more.
Yes.
All right, thanks for letting us get to know you. This Louisiana episode of Small Town Podcast is produced in partnership with the Louisiana Municipal Association and is sponsored by Louisiana Economic Development. LMA and LED invite you to visit and enjoy the small towns of Louisiana. Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment and recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy,
then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right, I want to make sure that people know we've laid out this great image of the town and how great it is, but I want to make sure people know what types of things there are to do, what maybe local activities and events, whether there's an annual festival, annual event, or you things know, like that.
The one we put the most emphasis on is our annual event, is our Easter egg hunt we do for the community. We do it once a year. My mom done it for 28 years until she died in 82, and we missed a year, and people want to keep it in her name, so we've done it 38 years
since. So she just did it on her own?
Did it on her own.
Just started for the community?
And she was a lady that didn't give a gift for the prize for the most eggs found or something. Every kid got a homemade gift. I have women today that's grown, got their own kids and grandkids say, your mama made this gift for me, and that kind of stuff. And yeah, my mama was a mother of the year in 1967 in Rapides Parish. You know, she's everybody's mom. Mom sewed for the general public and to help make a living for us. She made dresses and done weddings and all that kind of stuff. You know, she actually become the mental person you met when you got a problem with the ladies talk. But anyway, but mom was a very integral part of church here. She go in the summertime to what we call Camp Tall Timbers, where the Baptists have the big encampment here. They come for GA camp and RA camp and what have you. She was always a part of that. She kept a scrapbook on all of that. And when she passed away, we give all that stuff to Tall Timbers. And through that book was letters from some of her students that went on profession of faith and wrote her back later on. She changed lives. There's no question about it, you know. Mom was a person that saw good in everyone. I could go in my mom and be low in the snake's belly and come out higher in a kite just talking to her with a cup of coffee, you know, that kind of person, you know.
But she did this Easter egg hunt herself, you said, so it wasn't through the city or anything.
She would do baby food yards and fill them with candy, but she gets some of the ladies to help her.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And she'd do it at her home place, and daddy had always had garden, and Ruth, them kids going to mess up my garden. But it was always fun, you know, and that kind of stuff. Yeah, she done it every year. She sure did.
And she did that Easter egg hunt herself for how many years, did you say?
28 years.
And
we've kept it going for another 38 years now, and it's grown and it's grown and it's grown.
And is that something now the city sponsors, the local chamber?
The city sponsors. We get help to people donate to it, to do it. We do an annual Mardi Gras parade here too, and you know, but it's a family oriented Mardi Gras parade. We don't allow a lot of stuff.
You know, there's a family oriented Mardi Gras, and then there's some others.
It's definitely a family oriented Mardi Gras parade. So the kids can come out and experience that. Woodworth and thank God is still kind of pretty conservative. You know, it's all still about family. They support their police. They support their fire. They support their mayor's office. I can tell you, I am blessed. I am blessed with that. Yes.
Well, that's good. They support the mayor.
Yes. 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 I can tell a lot of good stories about my mom. My mom's people were from Wynn Parish, Louisiana. We take the old bus up there for Thanksgiving, and they had turkeys on the yard. Well, I remember going up there. She'd bring a pillowcase with her. We get one of them turkeys and put that pillowcase and bring it back on the bus for Thanksgiving and that stuff. It's just stories like that, you know, with mom, you know. And, you know, I told people when I come up, I had a bad drug problem. They said, Mary, you had a drug problem? Yeah, I had a bad drug. My butt got drugged to church on Sunday whether I want to go or not. You know, that's kind of the way it was, you know. And then, you know, I tell my kids today, you know, we didn't have all that internet y'all got today, but we had the auntnet back then, and the aunties knew more, mom and them knew more about what we did in community when we got home than we knew about ourselves, you know. And that was it took a, Hillary Clinton talked about it, took a village. Well, if we misbehaved or what have you.
You had friends right
today
here.
That's dying off. It, we were close. You know, come up with kids together in the community because it was so small. Yeah, and the cows grazed the streets here, you know, and everybody kind of looked after them at that time, you know. I tell you, my roots are, I bleed Woodworth. I just bleed Woodworth, you know, and I had a man years ago, he's a Pentecostal preacher, and he told me one time, you know, Woodworth's always a mud hole in the road. It always will be. I wish I could go get him today and show him ain't no mud holes.
Show him this building.
I know
he would
be proud.
Yeah.
I know he would be proud, you know. And the thing about you two, you know, teachers in my life are still 12, 15 foot tall. If they had any bad habits, I didn't know about it, you know. They were pillars of the community. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. And I still think they got teachers like that. I got teachers in my family, you know. And I've been with my granddaughter. She teaches first grade. And see a little kid come up and hug her neck and hug on her and say, "Miss Butler, it's so good to see you, Miss Foster." You know, that's an attachment there, you know.
Yeah.
That's all important. You know, we've raised a generation or two of children that what we see going on in our country today, it's our own fault. We got to return to the basic family structure. I want to live by an example. I want to, when I go to church, I get down and look at a kid right in the eye and I want them to know something's good. I want them to know that's good in politics. I want to know that's a good mayor. I can stop my car and they'll run out to my car to hug me or something, and them little kid. That's everything to me. That's everything. And I get down and I'll ask them, I say, they might be in the third or fourth grade, and I'll look at them, I say, might be a little boy, and I say, "Have you got any girls in your class?" And he'll say, "Well, yeah." I said, "You got any pretty girls?" And they won't say nothing. I said, "Well, let me just tell you something. You remember what I told me? Just remember what I told you." I said, "If you talk to them girls, it'll cause you to wear braces. You understand what I'm telling you?" "Oh, look." And I said, "Let me tell you something else. If you was to hold a hand, it'll cause your hearing to go bad. You remember I told you that?" I got them up in high school now still telling me that, you know, but I have that relationship with them, you know,
yeah.
You know, and you know, if you tell a kid, and even through my magistrate side of it, if you tell a kid, and I've helped them put in, go to YCP school or put them in this school, if you tell them, "If you graduate, I'm going to be there," you need to be there.
Yeah.
And I've had that opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade that for nothing. No.
What else, whether it's a place of historical note or some kind of monument or some kind of recreational, what can people come do and experience?
We have several places here. We have what's called the Wild Azalea Trail here. This is owned by the U.S. Forest Service. It's a 31-mile hiking trail. They come here from all over, nature trail. Here at Woodworth, it's 31 miles to do that. We got what we call the Claiborne Multi-Purpose Trails here. Camp Claiborne was a World War II abandoned base. And they come and do horse riding and four-wheel riding and motorbike riding.
All that.
Okay. Brings a lot of people here. We also have Indian Creek Recreation here. It's a big event here. Something's going on. We have the triathlons that go here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And come all over the state there. We have a public shooting range here where they teach hunter safety and that stuff. People come here. We have the Louisiana owns their, they had their camp, state encampment is here. And the Methodist Louisiana has their state encampment here. And the Assembly of God has their state encampment here.
You mentioned church camps earlier. So we
have three church camps and have a fourth one going in.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the Methodist Louisiana, we won actually a few years ago the Economic Development Award from the Municipal Association because of that. And I involved with them, you know. And as long as we're legal, we will help the churches any way we can to do what we do because it's great for the community, but the Indian Creek Recreation Area is probably our main draw. 170,000-180,000 people a year come there.
Wow.
It's 4,000 acre lake on it. They have campsites, 134 campsites to hook up to. We do a fireworks over Indian Creek at 4th of July that's there. They actually do a Halloween event at Jugs. They judge the trailers. They go out there and decorate and give out candy. That's a big event. You know, we're involved with it out there, you know. And we're right in the center of Kasachin National Forest. And it's on our doorsteps here. That's, you know, Kasachin itself is about 600,000-700,000 acres altogether. We have the second high school, the second school in the United States built on federal property, or national property. The other's in Talladega, Alabama. Mm-hmm. The other one's here. We got 34 acres of property. Our pre-K through eighth grade school is on that, on 17 acres of it. We got the property for like $10 an acre with a verticaw clause in it. And they said it couldn't be done on Kasachin National Forest. It's the number one performance school, Scholastic in Rapides Parish, number six in the state. And it's really drove our growth. It was the first new school built in 28, 29 years in the parish, and it's now 10 years old itself, and it's driving our growth, too. It's an awesome school.
It sounds like, here, I'm going to put this all together. I'm probably going to sound like an advertisement for you here. You made some hard decisions to make sure that this was a safe and family-friendly environment. You just mentioned having an award-winning or highly ranked school in your parish and even in the state. And you just listed a whole lot of activities. I was a little surprised. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. A lot of small towns, Louisiana, obviously. Sportsman's paradise, I think, is the phrase on the license plate.
That's correct.
So you certainly fulfilled that slogan here in your area. You got so much, and I guess that's kind of spurred the growth, not only of your visitors, but people are coming here to live.
You know, about it's been at least 25 years ago now, 28 years ago, the local newspaper ran an article on growth out of Alexander area. Mm-hmm. They showed the corridor along 165 South and Woodward to be a projected growth area.
Okay.
I have that article. That has come about.
Yeah.
You know, keep in mind, when I become mayor, we didn't have a sewer system, very little water system, didn't have a fire department. All this has been built since then. You know, yeah. We have won year after year numbers. We won the first in our category size for connectivity with the Louisiana Municipal Association. I'm big on connectivity. If we can do more with less. We're going through an automatic meter reading program with our utility system right now. We have an automated inventory system for the whole town, for our assets. We have an automated inventory system for the police department in their whole operation, from the evidence room to you name it. And but we won a number. We won the Water System of the Year North 3 different times for Louisiana Rural Water. We won a Water System of the Year North 3 different times. First time we won it was back in 85. And we're very proud of those awards for the town. That means so much. We won the Cleanest Cities Contest a number of times. You know, I say on the Cleanest Cities Contest, don't tell me you're coming. Just come every day and look at me. Don't you know.
Need to be given the commitment. You'll just show
no,
it.
No, I don't have to get it ready. Let's don't go say we're coming on a day when the Cardin Club, the judge, just come and judge it at that point. That's what we need. That's what it's all about.
Well, Mayor, as we start to kind of close things out for this episode, I want to give you the same opportunity I've given to all our guests on the podcast and let you talk directly to the small town podcast audience and tell them why they should come visit or maybe they should come move to Woodworth, Louisiana.
If you're looking to a place to move and you're looking for a safe and clean community that has open government, water system that don't have ball advisories, you have your sewer that works, your gas is there, your roads are mowed, your streetlights work all the time, your litter's kept pick up, and a good school environment and a good Christian environment, because we're surrounded by church camps here, zero to no crime. We're convenient to close hospitals and what have you. And that becomes important the older you get. You want to come to a community that if you're going to be out of town, you want checks made in your home, we do all of that. We would welcome you to come to Woodworth. I would welcome you to contact my office and let me take you personally around and show you some things about the community. I would love to do that personally. And I tell people, I've told people before, and they took me up on it. I said, you know, if you come to Woodworth and you build your new home or whatever, we'll mow your grass for a year for you at home. And they get here and they call and say, Mary, you go. Did I tell you that? Lying politician. That's what I thought. But anyway, you know, we want them to know. And if you want to come to a community that cares about their neighbors, yes. You want to come to a community that neighbors watch for neighbors and the neighborhood watch at its very best. That's very important. You want to come to a community that works with their police and their fire in their community. We've had a number of times over probably the last 5 years, at least 3 different times, that we've had our citizens come together and do an appreciation luncheon for all the employees and feed them just to show this is our commitment to you. Or you go into a community and they got blue ribbons tied around every mailbox in support of their police and that kind of stuff. That's the kind of people we are here, you know. And if you have a need, they're going to reach out for you. You let a storm come or a hurricane as close as we live to the Gulf sometimes, you know, obviously we get an overflow from that. One of these cloud bursts for water. I've seen time and time again where people put people in their homes and have a place to stay, go in there and help each other, help clean up. I've seen them fall out to help us clear roads, do all kinds of stuff during that period of time that goes on. Just awesome people. They don't, whether they're Baptist, a Catholic, a Pentecost, a black or white, it makes no difference. They're all there together. They're one community. I've seen it time and time and time again. Makes you proud to be a part of it.
Well, Mayor David Butler, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Welcome, sir.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor David Butler for talking with me. I also want to thank the Louisiana Municipal Association and Louisiana Economic Development for partnering and sponsoring this episode. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, and the Greater Harrelson Chamber. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.